A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and I think he's tapped into something that's been quietly driving everyone nuts. He's talking about those emails that land in your inbox and pretend to be personal outreach, but they're clearly automated scraping spam. No unsubscribe link, because they're trying to fake being a real one-to-one message. He gets them constantly, because he publishes on GitHub, and they're making it genuinely harder to spot actual human emails from people who want to connect. His question is, what's a low-friction way to filter these out, ideally at the server level, without nuking legitimate messages in the process? He's calling it pseudo-personalization. I think that name's going to stick.
It's a perfect name for it, honestly. And before we dive into solutions, I should mention, DeepSeek V4 Pro is writing our script today, so if anything comes out especially clever, credit where it's due.
Alright, so where do we even start with this? Because this isn't just regular spam. Regular spam is easy. It's obviously garbage. Your filters catch most of it, and when it slips through, you roll your eyes and delete it. This stuff is different.
It's fundamentally different, and Daniel's frustration is completely justified. What he's describing sits in this uncanny valley between bulk commercial email and genuine personal correspondence. The reason it's so infuriating is that it exploits a social norm. The norm that says when someone writes to you personally, you should at least glance at it. These senders are parasitizing that norm.
Parasitizing is the right word. And what makes it technically distinct from regular spam is exactly what Daniel pointed out. No unsubscribe link. Under Can Spam in the US, commercial email has to include a working opt-out mechanism. Under GDPR in Europe, you need consent in the first place. These emails deliberately omit the unsubscribe link to maintain the fiction that this isn't commercial email at all. It's just a friendly note from a stranger who coincidentally has a product you might like.
Right, and that's the legal gray zone they're exploiting. If you're sending bulk commercial email, you're a marketer and you have to follow the rules. If you're sending a personal email, you're just a person. These senders are pretending to be the second thing while actually doing the first thing. And Daniel's right that it's probably illegal in many jurisdictions, but enforcement against this specific tactic is basically non-existent.
Because who's going to prosecute? The FTC isn't going after some startup that sent 400 pseudo-personalized emails to GitHub repo owners. The volume is too low per sender. The harm is diffuse. And proving it's automated rather than personal is actually non-trivial.
That brings us to the detection problem, which is the core technical challenge here. Regular spam filtering works on patterns, certain IP ranges, certain phrases, certain header characteristics, known bad domains. Gmail and Google Workspace are actually very good at this for traditional spam, but these pseudo-personalized emails are designed to defeat exactly those pattern matching systems.
Because each one is slightly different. They're scraping your GitHub profile, maybe your blog, maybe your LinkedIn, and generating text that references specific things about you. Hey, I saw your repo on Rust-based CLI tools. Really impressive work. I'm building something in a similar space, and thought you might be interested. It's templated, but the template gets filled with scrape specifics.
That's where large language models come in, both as the problem and potentially as part of the solution. Let me break down what's actually happening on the sender side, because understanding the adversary helps you build the defense. There are now dozens of AI-powered outreach tools. I'm thinking of platforms like Limlist, Instantly, SmartLead, that integrate scraping and generation. They'll pull your GitHub activity, your recent posts, your job title, and feed that into a prompt that generates what looks like a thoughtful personal note. The AI is doing the pseudo part of the pseudo-personalization.
It's a terrible use of the technology, as Daniel said. Not just ethically, it's actually counterproductive for the senders. Anyone with pattern recognition skills spots these immediately. I noticed your work on X when X is literally the first thing on your public profile. That's not personalization, that's a database query.
There was a study from Stanford last year that looked at AI-generated outreach emails and found that recipients were actually more annoyed by them than by traditional spam, specifically because of the uncanny valley effect Daniel's describing. When something is clearly spam, your brain goes, spam, and you move on. When something is almost personal but not quite, it triggers a much stronger negative reaction. It feels deceptive in a way that obvious spam doesn't.
That's fascinating. So the senders are not only being unethical, they're being ineffective. The pseudo-personalization is worse than no personalization at all. But that doesn't solve Daniel's problem, which is that he still has to process these things. So let's talk solutions. He mentioned an email agent that uses intelligence rather than rules. I think that's the right instinct, but I want to push on the implementation details.
Let me lay out the landscape of possible approaches, from simple to complex, and then we can figure out what actually makes sense for someone in Daniel's position. He's on Google Workspace, he's technical, he wants low friction, and he's worried about false positives. Those constraints actually narrow things down usefully.
Start with the simplest option first. What can you do without any AI at all?
The simplest thing is Gmail filters with keyword matching, but that's going to have terrible precision and recall for this use case. These emails don't share consistent phrases. One might say, love your work on, and another might say, impressed by your contributions too. The whole point is that they're varied. You could try filtering on common scraping artifacts. If they mention your GitHub username in a weird context, or if they reference a repo but get the language wrong, but that's whack-a-mole.
What about filtering on the absence of an unsubscribe link? If an email is from a domain you don't recognize and it doesn't contain an unsubscribe link or a physical address, that's a signal.
That's actually a clever heuristic, but it's hard to implement in Gmail's native filter system. Gmail filters can check for the presence of text, but checking for the absence of specific text isn't straightforward. You'd need something that parses the email outside of Gmail's rules engine. Which brings us to the next tier, using Google Apps Script or a third-party tool that connects via the Gmail API.
This is where I think an Aiton could be useful. Daniel's been running an Aiton for about 18 months. It's the closest self-hosted Zapier replacement, and it can connect to Gmail's API. You could build a workflow that triggers on new emails from unknown senders, runs them through some classification logic, and either archives them, labels them, or flags them for review.
That's a solid approach, and it gives you full control over the logic. But the classification piece is where it gets interesting. You could start with rule-based heuristics and then layer on AI only where needed. For instance, a rule that says if the sender's domain is less than 6 months old and the email mentions my GitHub, flag it. That alone would catch a lot.
Domain age is a really good signal. Most of these scraping operations are using relatively new domains, or they're rotating through domains quickly as they get blacklisted. You could integrate a WHOIS lookup into the Nate Ian workflow, check the domain creation date, and use that as one factor.
You can get more sophisticated with the signals. Here's my list of high-value indicators that an email is pseudo-personalized scraping spam. 1. The sender has never emailed you before, and there's no obvious reason they'd have your email. 2. The email references something publicly available about you, your GitHub, your blog, your company's about page, in a way that feels like a database field was inserted. 3. There's a soft pitch somewhere in the second or third paragraph. 4. No physical mailing address in the footer. 5. The sending domain doesn't match the company they claim to represent. 6. The email was sent at an odd hour for the sender's claimed time zone.
Number 6 is underrated. If someone claims to be in San Francisco, but their email arrived at 3 a.m. Pacific time, that's a tell. Not definitive, but combined with other signals, it adds up.
And this is where a scoring system makes sense. Each signal adds to a score, and above a certain threshold, you take action. The question is, what action? Daniel mentioned blocking the domain at the server level, which is the nuclear option. I'd recommend a softer approach first. Automatically archive and label these emails so they're out of the inbox, but still searchable if you ever need to find one.
That's the false positive safety net. If you accidentally filter a real person, their email isn't gone. It's just not in your face. You can periodically review the filtered folder and rescue anything that got caught incorrectly.
That brings us to the AI agent approach Daniel was wondering about. The question is whether you need a full language model to classify these emails or whether simpler methods work well enough. I think the answer depends on volume and tolerance for false positives.
Let's talk about what an AI-based approach would actually look like. You'd have something, again, probably an innate in workflow or a custom script, that receives each email from an unknown sender, sends it to an LLM with a prompt like, "Is this a genuine personal email or an automated outreach message?" Respond with only genuine or automated, and then acts on the response.
The cost per classification with something like GPT 4.0 or Claude would be a fraction of a cent per email. If Daniel's getting one or two of these a day, we're talking maybe 50 cents a month in API costs. That's completely reasonable. The latency is also fine. You don't need real-time classification for email filtering. A 30-second delay between the email arriving and it being classified is imperceptible to the user.
The real question is accuracy. How good are these models at distinguishing genuine personal outreach from well-crafted pseudo-personalization?
I haven't seen a published benchmark specifically for this task, but based on what we know about LLM performance on similar classification problems, I'd expect somewhere in the 90 to 95% accuracy range. The models are very good at detecting the subtle tells, the slightly generic phrasing, the way the personalization feels bolted on rather than integrated, the absence of specific shared context that a real person would naturally include.
90 to 95% is pretty good, but it means 5 to 10% error. If Daniel gets, say, 40 of these a month, that's 2 to 4 misclassifications. If even one of those is a real person whose email got filtered, that's a problem.
That's why the soft fail approach matters. Don't auto-delete. Archive and label. The cost of reviewing a filtered folder once a week is maybe 2 minutes. The cost of missing a genuine opportunity because someone's email got deleted is potentially much higher. The AI reduces the review burden from read every email from unknown senders to spot check the filtered folder.
There's also a hybrid approach that I think is underrated. Use the AI for classification, but only on emails that have already passed through a set of deterministic filters. So, step 1, is this from a known contact? If yes, deliver normally. Step 2, does this email contain an unsubscribe link or a physical business address? If yes, it's probably legitimate marketing email. Still annoying, but at least it's following the rules. Step 3, does it match any obvious spam patterns? Step 4, only then send the remaining ambiguous emails to the LLM for classification.
That's the right architecture. Each layer reduces the number of emails that need AI classification, which reduces both cost and the absolute number of false positives. And you can tune the deterministic layers to be extremely conservative. They only filter things that are almost certainly spam, and let the AI handle the nuanced cases.
Let me propose a concrete setup for Daniel, since he's already on Google Workspace and already using an ATN. And I want to be specific here, because set up an AI email filter is the kind of advice that sounds helpful but is actually useless without implementation details.
Let's build it.
Step 1. In Google Cloud Console, enable the Gmail API for your workspace. Create a service account with appropriate scopes. You need the ability to read messages, modify labels, and ideally also manage blocked senders if we want that option. Step 2. Enable and create a new workflow with a Gmail trigger node that watches for new messages. You can configure it to only trigger on emails from senders, not in your contacts, which is the first filter right there.
Important detail, Gmail's API has a feature called Push Notifications via PubSub, but for a low-volume personal inbox, pulling every 5 or 10 minutes is perfectly fine and much simpler to set up. The Anon Gmail trigger node handles this natively.
Step 3. The workflow pulls the full email content, subject, body, sender address, headers. Step 4. Run it through the deterministic filters we talked about. Check if the sender is in your contacts. Check for unsubscribe links in the body. Check the domain age via a Wiz API node. If it fails any of these checks, label it as suspected spam and archive it. If it passes all the deterministic checks, leave it in the inbox.
For the WHOIS lookup, there are free APIs that work fine for this volume. You're not checking thousands of domains a day, you're checking maybe 10. The key signal is domain age. Anything registered in the last 90 days is suspicious. Not conclusive, but combined with other signals, it's strong.
Step 5. And this is where the AI comes in. For emails that pass the deterministic checks but still seem off, or alternatively, for all emails from unknown senders, send the content to an LLM for classification. In ATN, you'd use the HTTP request node to call the OpenAI API, or the Anthropic API. The prompt is crucial here. You want something like, you are classifying emails to determine if they are genuine personal messages or automated outreach. Genuine personal emails reference specific shared context, ask natural questions, and don't contain a sales pitch. Automated outreach emails use scraped public information to appear personal, but contain a pitch for a product, service, or meeting. Classify the following email as genuine or automated. Respond with only one word.
I'd add one thing to that prompt. Ask for a confidence score. Respond with only one word and a number from 1 to 10 indicating your confidence. That way, you can set different thresholds. High-confidence automated emails get auto-archived. Low-confidence ones get flagged for manual review. That dramatically reduces the false positive risk.
That's smart. And then step 6, based on the classification, apply a Gmail label and either archive the email or leave it in the inbox. You could have labels like likely spam, AI classified, and uncertain, review. The uncertain ones are the only ones you need to actually look at.
Step 7, which is optional but powerful, for emails classified as automated with high confidence, you could automatically add the sender's domain to a block list. Daniel mentioned wanting to block these domains at the server level, and you can do that through the Gmail API as well. But I'd recommend a cooldown. Maybe the domain gets blocked only after 3 separate emails from that domain get classified as automated. That prevents a single false positive from permanently blocking a legitimate domain.
That's the kind of safeguard that makes the difference between a tool you trust and a tool you're constantly second-guessing. The whole system needs to earn trust over time, and the way it earns trust is by being transparent about its decisions and giving you easy ways to correct mistakes.
Let me address the self-hosted versus managed question, because Daniel mentioned he's technical and already running A10, but there's also a case for using a managed service. There are tools like Sanebox, Superhuman, and Hey that do some of this classification work out of the box. The advantage is zero setup and maintenance. The disadvantage is you're trusting someone else's classification logic and you have less control.
For Daniel specifically, I think self-hosted makes sense. He's already running N18, he's comfortable with APIs, and his use case is specific enough that a general-purpose tool probably won't handle it well. Most email filtering services are designed around newsletter management and traditional spam. They're not optimized for detecting pseudo-personalized AI-generated outreach.
The specific pattern of scraped GitHub data used to fake personalization is niche enough that building your own classifier with domain-specific heuristics will almost certainly outperform a generic solution. You know your own patterns. You know which repos are public, which blog posts get scraped, which conferences you've spoken at. Those are the data points that scrapers use, and you can tune your filters accordingly.
There's another angle here that I think is worth exploring. Daniel mentioned that part of his frustration is ideological. He believes in agentic AI, and he sees this as a horrible misuse of it. I think that's worth sitting with for a moment, because it connects to a broader conversation about how these tools get deployed.
AI agents that could be doing useful things, automating tedious workflows, helping people access information, making software more accessible, are instead being used to generate slightly customized spam at scale. It's like inventing the printing press and using it to write passive-aggressive post-it notes.
It creates a negative externality that affects the whole ecosystem. When enough people start getting these pseudo-personalized emails, the default assumption for any cold outreach becomes, this is probably fake. That hurts people who are doing legitimate cold outreach. The researcher who found your paper and has a genuine question. The developer who wants to collaborate on a project. The journalist who wants to quote you. Everyone gets tarred with the same brush.
This is a classic tragedy of the commons problem. Each individual sender gets a slight benefit from using AI personalization. Maybe their response rate goes from 1% to 1.5%. But collectively, they're poisoning the well for everyone, and the senders don't bear the cost of that poisoning. The recipients do in the form of a noisier inbox and eroded trust.
Which is why technical solutions like what we're describing aren't just personal convenience. They're a way of reclaiming the commons. If enough people deploy smart filters that specifically target this behavior, the ROI for the senders drops and the practice becomes less attractive. It's a distributed defense.
That's happening organically. Gmail and other major providers are getting better at detecting these patterns. I've noticed in the last 6 months or so that fewer of these emails are landing in my primary inbox. More of them are getting caught by the spam filter or shuffled into the promotions tab. The classifiers are learning.
Although the promotions tab is interesting, because these emails don't want to be there. The whole tactic is to avoid being classified as marketing. If Gmail starts consistently putting them in promotions, the senders lose the inbox placement they're trying to achieve, and the tactic becomes less valuable.
Let me circle back to something practical, because I want to make sure we're giving Daniel actionable advice and not just theory. Here's what I'd actually recommend in order of increasing complexity and effectiveness. Tier 1, right now today, create a Gmail filter that catches any email containing the phrase Sawyer plus GitHub or repo or repository. That's a very common scraping template. It won't catch everything, but it'll catch a lot, and it has essentially zero false positive risk. No real person writes, "I saw your GitHub repository and was impressed," as their opening line.
Real people say, "Hey, I was looking at your code and," or, "quick question about your repo." The Sawyer phrasing is a tell. It's the kind of slightly stilted language that templates produce.
Tier 2. Set up the 8-in workflow with the Gmail API as we described, starting with deterministic rules and a manual review folder. Get comfortable with the workflow, tune the rules, see what it catches. This is a weekend project for someone with Daniel's technical background. Tier 3. Add the LLM classification once you've validated that the deterministic rules are working and you understand the false positive rate. The LLM layer is where you go from "this catches most of them" to "this catches almost all of them."
Tier 4, which is aspirational, but worth mentioning. If you really want to go nuclear, you can use the Gmail API to auto-reply to classified spam with a complaint. Something like, "This email appears to be unsolicited commercial email sent without consent. Please remove my address from your systems." Most of these senders will ignore it, but it creates a paper trail, and some email sending platforms will flag accounts that receive multiple complaints.
I'd be cautious with auto-replies, because they confirm to the sender that your email address is actively monitored. That can actually increase the volume of spam you receive, because your address gets marked as verified active in whatever database they're using. I'd stick with silent filtering.
Silent filtering is the way to go.
Let's talk about one more thing Daniel raised, which is the legal dimension. He mentioned that these emails are probably illegal, but nobody prosecutes. He's right on both counts. Under canned spam, commercial email has to include a clear and conspicuous opt-out mechanism. Under GDPR, you need a lawful basis for processing someone's personal data, and "I scraped your GitHub" isn't one. But enforcement is almost entirely focused on high-volume spammers, not on the kind of low-volume, pseudo-personalized outreach Daniel's describing.
The reason enforcement is so limited isn't just resource constraints, though that's part of it. It's also that proving these emails are automated rather than personal is difficult from the outside. A regulator looking at a single email can't necessarily tell if it was written by a human who did 30 seconds of research, or by an AI that scraped a profile. The patterns only become visible in aggregate.
Which is another argument for technical solutions over legal ones. The law moves slowly and enforcement is spotty. A well-tuned N8 workflow moves at the speed of API calls.
Alright, let me try to synthesize this into something concrete. Daniel's problem is pseudo-personalized outreach emails. AI-generated, scraping-based, no unsubscribe link, designed to look personal. The solution we're proposing is a layered filtering system on Google Workspace using NA10 and the Gmail API. Layer 1, deterministic rules based on domain age, known template phrases, and structural tells. Layer 2, LLM classification for ambiguous cases, with a confidence threshold and a manual review folder for low confidence hits. Layer 3, optional domain level blocking for repeat offenders, with a cooldown to prevent false positive logouts.
The whole thing is self-hosted, transparent, and tunable. That's the key. You're not trusting a black box. You're building something where you can see every decision and adjust every threshold. For someone like Daniel, who's technical and opinionated about how his tools work, that's the right approach.
The setup time is probably a weekend. The ongoing cost is negligible. Pennies a month and API fees for the LLM classification. The maintenance is minimal once it's tuned, and the peace of mind is substantial.
I want to add one more technique that's a bit unconventional, but powerful. You can use the absence of certain signals as a positive indicator. A genuine personal email usually contains something that couldn't be scraped. A reference to a private conversation, a question about something that isn't publicly documented, a mention of a mutual contact. The LLM can be prompted to look for these genuineness signals and use their absence as evidence of automation.
That's a really good framing. It's not just, does this look like spam? It's, does this look like a real person trying to communicate? Real personal emails have a certain texture. They're messier, more specific, more contextual. They reference things that aren't in your top 5 Google results. They ask questions that a template wouldn't generate.
That's something AI classifiers are surprisingly good at detecting. They've been trained on vast amounts of human conversation, so they have a strong, implicit model of what natural human communication looks like versus templated communication with slots filled in. The difference is often in the transitions between sentences, the way topics flow, the presence of small digressions and self-corrections that templates smooth out.
Templates are too coherent. Real emails have asides. By the way, this reminded me of, or, sorry if this is random, but those little disfluencies are hard to template convincingly.
And the scrapers haven't figured out how to fake that yet. They might eventually, but right now, the pseudo-personalization is still detectably pseudo. The personalization is a veneer. Once you look at the structure underneath, it's clearly a template.
Let's also talk about what not to do, because I think there are some tempting but wrong approaches here. Don't try to solve this with Gmail's built-in spam reporting, marking these as spam trains. Google's classifiers, which is good for the ecosystem, but it doesn't solve your individual problem quickly enough, and the senders just rotate domains. Don't try to reply asking to be removed. As we discussed, that confirms your address is active. And don't try to build a perfect classifier that catches everything with zero false positives. That's a trap. Aim for catches most, and false positives go to manual review, not catches all and deletes them.
The perfect is the enemy of the good enough, especially in email filtering. A system that catches 80% of pseudo-personalized spam with zero false positives that result in deletion is vastly better than a system that catches 99% but occasionally nukes a real email. The manual review folder is the safety valve that makes the whole thing trustworthy.
Once you've had the system running for a few weeks, you'll have a good sense of its real-world performance. You can look at the review folder, see what's getting flagged, and tune accordingly. Maybe you find that certain domains keep showing up, and you add them to a block list. Maybe you find that certain phrases are reliable indicators, and you promote them to deterministic rules. The system gets better over time.
That's the beauty of self-hosted tools. They're not static. They evolve with your needs and your adversary's tactics. And the adversary here is adapting too. The scraping templates are getting more sophisticated, the AI generation is improving, the domain rotation is getting faster. A static defense loses effectiveness over time, an evolving defense doesn't.
Which brings us back to something Daniel said that I think is worth highlighting. He called this a horrible misuse of AI, and said he wants to clamp down on it from an ideological perspective. I think building your own filter is a form of ideological action. It's saying, I refuse to let my inbox be a dumping ground for low-effort AI-generated outreach. I'm going to use AI defensively to protect my attention, rather than letting AI be used defensively to steal it.
Attention is the scarce resource here. These emails are attention theft at scale. They're trying to steal a few seconds of your cognitive bandwidth by pretending to be something they're not. And the cumulative effect, as Daniel described, is that it becomes harder to find the real human messages in the noise. That's a real cost. It's not just annoyance, it's degraded signal-to-noise ratio in a communication channel that matters.
For someone like Daniel, who publishes open source work and presumably wants to hear from genuine collaborators and users, that degraded signal-to-noise ratio has a real productivity cost. Every pseudo-personalized email he has to read and dismiss is time he's not spending on actual work or actual relationships.
Let me bring this full circle with a practical checklist. If Daniel's listening and wants to set this up, here's what I'd do in order. 1. Audit your current inbox for a week. Tag every pseudo-personalized email and look for patterns. What phrases do they use? What data do they scrape? What times do they arrive? This gives you training data for your rules. 2. Set up the Gmail API access and aid-in workflow with the basic deterministic filters we described. 3. Run it in label only, no archive. Mode for a week so you can validate that it's catching the right things without false positives. 4. Add the LLM classification layer with the confidence scoring and the manual review folder. 5. After another week of validation, enable auto-archiving for high-confidence classifications. 6. Periodically review the archive and tune.
That's a solid plan, and I think the fact that we can describe it in enough detail that someone could actually implement it is important. Too much advice in this space is hand-wavy. Use AI to filter your email without specifying which API, which prompt, which workflow. The details matter.
The details are where the false positives live. If you're sloppy about the details, you end up filtering real emails and the whole thing becomes counterproductive. If you're careful about the details, you get a system that quietly and reliably protects your attention without you having to think about it.
That's the dream, right? A system that just works, that you don't have to babysit, that handles the garbage so you can focus on the signal. It's not a crushing issue, as Daniel said, but it's one of those things that, once solved, improves your quality of life in a small but consistent way every single day.
Every single day. 2 or 3 fewer garbage emails to process every day for the rest of your career.
All right, I think we've given Daniel a pretty complete answer. Layered filtering, NAT and POS Gmail API, deterministic rules plus LLM classification, manual review as a safety net, domain blocking with a cooldown, low friction, self-hosted, tunable.
If anyone else is dealing with the same problem, and I suspect a lot of people are, the same architecture works. The specific heuristics might differ based on what kind of public profile you have and what the scrapers are targeting, but the layered approach is generalizable.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The national animal of Scotland is the unicorn. It has been since the 1200s, when it was adopted as a symbol of purity and power on the Scottish royal coat of arms.
Right. This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for keeping the show running. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. It helps other people find the show. You can also find every episode at myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.